Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coast to coast.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast and from the MGM National Harbor. It's the one and only Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst. And I got to tell you, I've mentioned this before, with the amount of women that chase him from the parking lot to the location of the set, he has literally become Elvis at the National Harbor. He can't even get there. Now they got security by the dozens walking through. He's got... I mean, what's next? He's going to have outfits. He may have to wear special outfits to protect him from all of the fans. They're going crazy for his inside skinny and information going into these NFL games. Warren, always a pleasure, buddy. Good to see you. Hope you're well. I always anticipate this hour every week on Thursdays from the National Harbor. It's like Christmas for me and for fans that like to bet on these games. Let's start breaking it down. It's time for Thursday Night Football in the Jungle, the Bengals and the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think we're going to see an interesting matchup here with Joe Burrow. We talked about reasons to like Joe Burrow in this Bengals offense last week when they were playing the Jets, and that's because the Jets, we did not think, were going to use a lot of this too high shell coverage that we saw the Steelers use a lot of and the Cowboys use a lot of against Joe Burrow over the first 2 weeks of the season and really slow down this Bengals offense. And sure enough, the New York Jets did not use a lot of it last week, and Joe Burrow and this Bengals offense had enough success scoring enough points to exceed the first half team total that I was on and to score enough points to cover the spread. Now they're playing a Miami Dolphins team, and this Miami Dolphins team plays the second least amount of two high shells of any team in the NFL, and I do not think on a short week they're going to come up with a game plan to change who they are. So I think Joe Burrow is going to face a lot of opportunities to throw the ball against this secondary that's playing a defensive style that he has had a lot of success against. The other thing I think here, Scott, that's important to note on that side of the football is this: Miami Dolphins have a very high blitz rate, and this game is going to come down to whether or not this Bengals offensive line can protect Joe Burrow well enough against that blitz, and can he get the ball out quickly enough. This Dolphins defense was on the field a ton last week against the Buffalo Bills. Now they're going to be sending a lot of pressure against Joe Burrow, and if they don't hit home, Ja'Marr Chase and the rest of this receiving corps is going to have a ton of openings to run, and yards after the catch are going to be all over the field, in my opinion, for the Cincinnati Bengals offense here. Joe Burrow is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL against the blitz, both this year and previous years, so I think this is going to be a great opportunity to really see who comes out on top, but it's a defense that Joe Burrow historically has been able to fare well against in terms of the style that they play.
I mean, this guy's offensive line is like wet toilet paper. I have never seen a star quarterback under that much pressure in 3 weeks in my life. Now, the Jets didn't really get to him, but the Steelers sure did. They sacked him 7 times, and we saw what happened against Dallas as well. It was a nightmare. Will he be able to get rid of it quick enough? Because you know, you just said it, the Dolphins are going to blitz like crazy.
I think he does. I think that the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be able to come out on top here. I don't know if you saw on Twitter yesterday the fact that some guys at UC Barstool were videotaping the Miami Dolphins walkthrough and then sharing that with the Cincinnati Bengals coaching staff. And that's going to be really interesting. You know, the Dolphins had to come up to Cincinnati a day early and hold their walkthrough in Cincinnati at the University of Cincinnati's field rather than down in Miami because of Hurricane Ian. And as a result of that, you know, we got some eyes on that from a lot of the Cincinnati faithful. We'll see how that factors in here, because it's going to be important defensively for them to figure out how the Bengals are going to slow down Tua and this high-powered passing attack. But one way to do it is just to stay on the field yourself if you're the Cincinnati Bengals and continue to wear down what should be an already tired Miami Dolphins defense.
We welcome all of our radio affiliates to Coast on a Thursday. I'm Pharrell with Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst. They're hearing us on Sirius XM Channel 159 all over the southern hemisphere of the globe. It's everywhere, baby. Sports Map Radio Network in Houston and Sports Byline USA in the city by the bay. Deepak holding it down for us. Warren, what is the deal in your feeling about the primetime unders so far this season?
Yeah, look, everybody's talking about it. This is the biggest talking point that's out there, is unders have hit at a high rate and primetime unders have hit at a high rate. But let me let everybody in on a little bit of a secret. This is something that's been going on for years now, just not to this extent. And so when it doesn't go to this extent, you're not going to have as many people talking about it. Like 70% of the games are going under the total in primetime this season. However, in prior years, look at the split. From 2015 to 2021, we saw 53.8% of games in primetime go under the total versus only 50.8% of Sunday day games go under the total. That's 3 percentage points different, and it shifts you up to that level of profitability where at minus 110 juice, you could beat the 52.38% that you need to and actually make money blindly betting primetime unders previously. So that's definitely something that has been in existence for a while, though not to this extent that it is right now. I certainly don't expect it to continue at this rate moving forward, but we will always see a little bit of an advantage because the public gets so involved in betting on primetime games. They bet the overs. There's a little bit of an edge there, and you can come in and find that by betting the unders. I don't advocate blindly betting anything. I advocate betting where you see value.
All right, there he is, Warren Sharp. We'll come back and talk about Jax and the Eagles, Niners and Rams from the National Harbor.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast, and Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst, is at the MGM National Harbor. You can follow him on Twitter, at SharpFootball. Let's talk about the Jags and Eagles at the link in Philadelphia. Warren, I just was blown away by the Jaguars' performance at SoFi last Sunday afternoon, where they completely embarrassed the Chargers and dominated them. Meanwhile, the same thing was happening at the dump in Landover, with the Eagles pushing around the Commanders.
Yeah, neither of these teams have been tested much in the second half. This is actually how you want to play football, in my opinion. And we'll talk about how the Buffalo Bills are doing something a little bit differently this year. But the goal is to build a quick lead. And when you build a quick lead, like both of these teams are doing, you can take time off in that second half and have a lot more ability to let a few things go wrong if they need to, because it's not going to impact the final score nearly as much in your ability to win the game. This game is going to be great. As long as weather doesn't get involved and really slow things down, they are forecasting potential for a little bit of rain. It's still early. It's only Thursday. The game's Sunday. Possible rain, a little bit of wind. If that doesn't end up happening, though, I think this game is going to be a high-flying back-and-forth game. The time to attack this Philadelphia Eagles defense, which has been great against some weaker quarterbacks, is on first down. Because when you get into second and third downs and you're trying to pass the ball on this defense, good luck. They have not allowed a lot of production efficiency, and they've got a ton of pressure in those situations. But on first down, if you could throw the ball against them, you're probably going to have a little bit of success. At least the other quarterbacks they faced have done that. And that's exactly what I expect Doug Peterson and this Jacksonville Jaguars offense is going to do. And on the flip side, I mean, this Philadelphia Eagles team, they're going to go after you deep. You look at who the Jaguars have played, the opposing quarterbacks that they've gone up against. They haven't really played an offense like this one from Philadelphia, an offensive line that's stout, a quarterback that's good, a quarterback that's multidimensional, can move around in the pocket, can run a little bit. That's not exactly what this defense of the Jacksonville Jaguars have been going up against on the season. And as a result of that, I think you're going to see a game that goes back and forth here. I think the 6.5 points is a little bit too high. Obviously, I'd love to get a 7 here. But I think Doug Peterson is going to have some things up his sleeve in this return to Philadelphia. The Eagles don't have anything against Doug. Like, they didn't like Carson Wentz. Doug Peterson won him a Super Bowl and then was fired for not being able to lead Carson Wentz back to the promised land, something that no other coach has been able to do either, by the way. But I think Doug Peterson certainly is going to come guns blazing here with things that they are going to try to accomplish against this Eagles defense and really make a statement and pull out another win.
Listen, first of all, I want to get your opinion of, so when they faced Herbert, obviously he was banged up from the previous game and the rib cartilage and all the rest. And if that's the case, he shouldn't have been playing because they made him look awful in that game. But he is considered one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, top five. Everyone talks about how Justin Herbert's going to win a Super Bowl and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league. They made the Chargers look awful. And my question to you is, Peterson has done such a great job in Philly winning a Super Bowl with Foles. And then now look what he's doing with this ragtag bunch in Jacksonville, who just last year couldn't get out of their own way with Urban Meyer. Now they got rid of Meyer. They still sucked with or without Meyer. And now look at them. They look dominant.
Yeah, the Justin Herbert thing, Justin Herbert right now is hamstrung by a couple of things, one of which was the rib injury, which was the main factor, and that's why they were throwing the ball very predictably. A lot of short stuff. The stuff that was deep was highly erratic and didn't come until later in the game once he had kind of eased himself into the game a little bit. He was trying to avoid contact, avoid pressure. It was just a bad spot for Justin Herbert. And the other thing that Herbert's trying to overcome, of course, is Joe Lombardi is offensive coordinator. We've talked about him in shows past and why he's calling an offense that isn't playing to Justin Herbert's strengths usually when Herbert is 100% healthy. So, yes, you do. Anytime you go up against a team that's weaker than you are, which the Chargers with a compromised Justin Herbert were, even though the Jaguars were the underdog, you need to win and prove a point. You need to do so dominantly. You need to win with some style and some distance, and that's exactly what they did. So you can't fault them for playing a quarterback who's 50 or 60% of himself coming up with a great game plan, but you can credit them for winning in the capacity that they did. And yes, absolutely, Doug Peterson is doing a phenomenal job. One thing to keep in mind, his Eagles teams generally did start off a little bit slower and then they hit a stride. This Jags team is doing great right out the gates these last two games. So I'm interested to see if they can continue that on.
So, I mean, they look for real, I think, to a lot of fans and bettors. Do you think they have to prove it again this week at the link for people to, like, you know, 100 be in on it?
Oh, if they prove it, if this game is close, if this is like a three-point game and the final score is not 10-7 or something along those lines, I think people are going to be stunned because this Philadelphia Eagles team is viewed as the Super Bowl favorite in some people's eyes right now. They are viewed as one of the most dominant teams in the NFL right now. And so even though there are some teams with better quarterbacks or better Super Bowl futures odds, I think this Philadelphia Eagles team is like that team for a lot of people. And if the Jaguars do something great here, it's definitely going to open up people's eyes, in my opinion. I don't think they have to do something great here for me to understand and respect the job that Peterson is doing and the way that this offense and defense are playing. But I think that they will actually be able to come in here and play a really solid game against the Eagles.
All right, let's talk about the Niners at Santa Clara at Levi's against the Rams. This is a huge game here for the Niners after, frankly, they blew the game against Denver. I mean, they were up, you know, I thought they had it in the bag. You get the safety, you get the field goal, you lose the game 11-10. It was ugly. They can't afford another performance like that, Warren.
No, they can't. This game's going to be tough. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers have a tremendous track record against the LA Rams with Sean McVay there. The 49ers have absolutely owned this series. It's been completely one direction. And most of these games have trended towards the under. This is a primetime game. We just talked about primetime unders. Don't bet it just because it's an under in primetime. But do bet it because this game should go under the total. I think that there's a great opportunity here for lower point production. I'm concerned with the absence of Trent Williams, because I think that is going to play a factor here. Since the start of 2021, which Jimmy G has made most of these starts for the San Francisco 49ers, on drives when they do not allow a sack, they are punting at just a 28% rate, which is the ninth lowest of any team in the NFL. But when they allow one sack or more, they are punting the football at a 60% rate, which is fifth highest of any team. They're the number one most sensitive offense to taking a sack. They just aren't built to overcome that. Yes, they have a decent explosive play rate at times on early downs when they can scheme up yards after the catch. But if you're asking Jimmy G to throw the ball down the field and make up for 6-7 yards that they lost on a sack, good luck. That's very unlikely for it to happen. And as a result, it's going to be incumbent upon him to either get the ball out quickly to his receivers, or they're going to be taking sacks, in my opinion, because I'm worried about this offensive line pass protecting. They might involve George Kittle a little bit more there. On the flip side, Matthew Stafford has been terrible against this 49ers defense. This 49ers defense is legit. And last year, look at Stafford's splits against the 49ers versus against every other team. He's taken a lot more pressure. His touchdown to interception ratio is terrible. His yards per attempt are much worse. His efficiency is worse. And as a result, I just see it like a rock fight here. I'd see both of these teams in a highly important game for the NFC West early in the season, trying to figure out how to come out on top, but I don't expect a real high flying affair here.
Respectfully, I get about 30 seconds. The Rams handled their business against Arizona. So how do you feel they really look so far this year?
About as I expected. I'll just put it that way. I didn't know what Matthew Stafford's elbow was going to look like. He is looking a little bit better. We should have a little bit more confidence in his ability to last the full season, which we didn't like a month and a half ago. But I still don't really think much more of the Rams versus who I've seen them play yet. Their true test lies this week and into the future.
All right, when we come back, we'll hit Cleveland and Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz and Denver Raiders. The Raiders are up against it, plus the Kansas City Chiefs again with Warren Sharp.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
Styling at the BetMGM Sportsbook and Lounge in the MGM National Harbor. There he is, Warren Sharp. He's got it all going on. Let's break down some more games, Warren. We'll start with Cleveland and Atlanta. I'm under the impression you're interested in the over here, possibly. And really, the big story might even be Cordarrelle Patterson, who's been on the injury list for the last 2 days, didn't practice. And I got to tell you, I thought he's looked phenomenal for the Falcons in the role that they facilitated for him. And I mean, if they get, which they have had London going, I don't think they've got Pitts going enough. You get all three of those guys going, they could actually be fun to watch.
Oh, they are fun to watch. This team, I posted a tweet out there on my timeline yesterday and asked for name the most underrated offense in the NFL. And we got a lot of different responses, a lot of them talking about the Browns or the Jacksonville Jaguars in particular, the Detroit Lions. Hardly anybody was talking about the Atlanta Falcons. That's good. Don't talk about the Atlanta Falcons. Let us take advantage of that, because I think this is a very good offense. I think this is an offense that I was very surprised with. It's important to have priors, but don't cling too tightly to them if you get information that shows that you could be wrong. And I think this Atlanta Falcons offense is doing a great job, much better than I anticipated. Art Smith coaching up this offensive line. They're protecting Marcus Mariota, allowing the third lowest pressure rate, and they're they're opening up holes for the running backs at one of the highest rates in the NFL. And then when they throw the ball, these guys are chucking it down the field. The deepest average depth of target. They're getting guys open in the secondary. They're really taking advantage of the skill set of their players. I know everybody who's got Kyle Pitts on their fantasy squads does not love Arthur Smith and is not going to be sending him a Christmas card yet, but there is still time to turn things around before you would have to put the postage stamp on it and stick it in the mailbox. I think that he's going to get Kyle Pitts going sooner rather than later. I think this team is a lot of upside this season. I'm very surprised by how they're playing, how fun they are, how good Marcus Mariota is playing. I think they could give this Cleveland Browns defense a little bit of a test. If you look at the quarterbacks this Browns team has played, Baker Mayfield, Joe Flacco, and Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, Marcus Mariota might be the best one on that list. They have not played good quarterbacks. I see nothing wrong with it, believing that this Atlanta Falcons offense can't put up some points. I'm fine. Keep Cordarrelle Patterson on the injury report. Let him rest. Bring him back to this game 100%. We want him in, Arthur Smith, but bring him back when he's fully healthy. And on the other side of the ball, I mean, this is why Kevin Stefanski is great. This is why he won Coach of the Year 2 years ago. This is why I was banking on him to do that and bet him before the season started. Kevin Stefanski is a great coach. This team, you mentioned it last week, one failed kneel down away from being 3-0 right now. And this team has great run blocking, and that's helped Jacoby Brissett out a ton. I think Nick Chubb's longest rushing attempt over is a great look for this game, because this Falcons run defense is terrible. I see a lot of chunk gains coming on the ground for Nick Chubb and this Cleveland Browns rushing attack, and then a lot of intermediate passing from Jacoby Brissett while this offensive line is keeping him clean against a Falcons pass rush that doesn't get after the quarterback very well. And I just see two teams that are both combining to go mid-20s. That's all you need to go over a total that sits at 47 points. I like the over here.
So what about Myles Garrett? Do you think he's going to miss this one after what happened with him wrecking the Porsche?
I think he is going to miss this one. And check this nugget out. With both Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney on the field, the Cleveland Browns are getting pressure at the number two highest rate in the NFL. But when Garrett is off the field, they drop to the second lowest rate in the NFL of pressure. He's a major difference maker. Now you're going up against a quarterback who already, this offensive line does not allow a lot of pressure. And Marcus Mariota is mobile and can move around in the pocket and avoid pressure. And now you don't have Myles Garrett trying to chase him down from the edge. If that's the case and if he doesn't play, I think that is a big factor here that's going to favor the Atlanta Falcons, which is why once that injury occurred, we saw money come in on the over and money come in on the Atlanta Falcons right away.
Wow, that's very interesting. All right, Vegas, boy, are they up against it, Warren. If they lose this game and go to 0-4, their next game is Monday Night Football at Kansas City in Arrowhead against the Chiefs. I mean, the bottom line is, if they lose to the Broncos at Allegiant in Sin City on Sunday afternoon, their season is over.
Yeah, look, a lot of people were high on this team entering the season. I was not one of them. In fact, I'm kicking myself right now for not getting more involved on fading them in the futures market, because I wrote all about it in my book leading into the season about how this team had so much positive regression last season. So many things go their way that it was bound to fall off this season. But, I mean, it's crazy. A lot of people saw the addition of Devontae Adams, and even though the O-line was weaker, they thought new coach plus Devontae Adams, this team can compete in the AFC West, and that hasn't been further from the truth. The one thing I think about this game, though, Scott, is the interesting element of the Denver Broncos offense. This Denver Broncos team, surprisingly, ranks dead last in success rate on early downs. They're terrible. A lot of people are banking on this team suddenly getting it right in the red zone and scoring more points. But what if they don't get into the red zone as much? Because right now, not only are they terrible on early downs, they're converting third downs, which are averaging those 7.7 yards to go, at a ridiculously high rate. Eventually, that's going to come back down to earth, and I think it might come down to earth in this game against the Raiders, because the Raiders are getting pressure on third down at the third highest rate of any defense in the NFL. And Russell Wilson has been the second most sensitive quarterback to pressure in the league. Top 10 when he's not pressured, bottom 5 when he is pressured. I think this Raiders team can get after him. And oh, by the way, the Denver Broncos have played two run defenses, whether you look at EPA per attempt or yards allowed before contact per attempt, that rank dead last in the NFL. Now they're going up against the Raiders that have a good run defense and can get after the quarterback. I see this Denver Broncos team struggling a little bit here. I don't love the Raiders ATS, but I do like the under here. And you could get that, I think, at around 46, 46 and a half points. I think that's a solid look.
Wow. And I got to tell you, they blew the game against Arizona. And then Tennessee, they score late to get the fourth down completion in the end zone. They went for two and they get it batted down. They lose the game. I mean, it's like they're in every game. They're just missing something. They're so close. I think they have to lay it all on the line on Sunday at home, or they're going to start turning on Josh McDaniels and that team in Vegas. All right, let's talk about that Tampa game. They're going to stay at Raymond James against the Chiefs. A lot of people thought because of Ian, they were going to move it to perhaps Minneapolis. That was the word. It was going to go to U.S. Bank. But they're going to stay in the Gulf Coast and play the game in Tampa. What are your thoughts leading into this puppy?
Yeah, when you look at that game last week, we talked about it. How could a game with a total sitting at 42 be right for Tom Brady versus Aaron Rodgers? And we bet the under and we won. And I'm doing the same exact thing here and betting the under. I think it helps this total tremendously that they're keeping the game in Tampa Bay, because now you have the crowd noise that gets involved to hurt the Kansas City Chiefs offense when they have the ball. Whereas if you move this game to Minnesota without a crowd at all, that's going to help both of the offenses being able to operate in complete silence. So I think that's big for the under. And I'm a little surprised that the market hasn't moved down towards the under as a result of that announcement. But when you look at the way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are playing defense, they're playing really solid cover two high shell defense that's limiting explosive passes and doing pretty well against the run. And they completely shut down the Green Bay Packers rushing attack last week. I don't think it's going to take much for them to shut down this Kansas City Chiefs rushing attack that was shut down by the Colts. Yes, the Colts do have a very good run defense. They were shut down last week. The Bucs have a good run defense this week. I think they're going to shut down the run offense of the Kansas City Chiefs, making Patrick Mahomes relatively one-dimensional. Now, his offensive line is in better shape than it was when they met Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl. That being said, I mean, we've seen Tampa's defensive linemen come out and really talk trash about this rebuilt offensive line and say that they don't see any improvement and they think the same result is going to be a coming out party for their defense to get a bunch of sacks on Patrick Mahomes. I mean, that's some bulletin board material if I've ever heard it. Really incumbent upon this Chiefs offensive line to step up to the task and take on that challenge. On the flip side here, I know that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to get healthier at receiver, but I don't see them having success running the ball either. I think it's going to be a lot of short Tom Brady underneath passes, much like we saw last week, hopefully with slightly better results here. And I just see these two teams having some moderate success offensively, but not enough to have explosive plays and score points quickly, and enough punts will ensue that we will see this game go under the total. I think it's going to be a highly competitive, very entertaining game, and we've seen the points spread. It got bet a little bit towards the Chiefs, and then money has come back grabbing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I think the game's going to be tight and a lot of fun to watch on Sunday night.
So what did you think of when they moved the ball down the field against Green Bay and they scored and that was impressive, and then they butchered that clock and had to be forced back to the seven and blew the two-point conversion? What did you think of the end, the way they handled that?
Well, I think that there's a lack of communication in some parts. I also think that there's some issues with Tom Brady and his trust and his confidence in that offensive line that aren't going to be rectified anytime soon. He, multiple games now, has just dropped down in the red zone and taken sacks on third down just to preserve his health. And I do respect this Kansas City Chiefs pass rush a little bit to be able to get after him some extent and enact on him what the Bucs defensive line enacted on the Chiefs offensive line in that Super Bowl. I just think that both of these offenses are nowhere near what they were just a year ago, even 2 years ago. And I also think that there's some issues in that office with the Kansas City Chiefs and their offensive coordinator and Patrick Mahomes having an argument at halftime of the game against last week, just after we saw them have the same argument in that AFC Championship game a year ago.
You know, I thought they were terrible in Indianapolis against the Colts. That game was embarrassing. When we come back, Bills, Ravens, and the rest of the slate with Warren Sharp.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. I'll tell you a little story. When we started doing the show with Warren down at the National Harbor at the MGM and BetMGM Sportsbook, I remember the first show, there was, you know, basically no one there. 3 weeks later, you can't even get a seat. There's people walking around with cell phones making bets. There's hot chicks walking by. There's mobsters in the back with suits on. There's a crowd. It's just brimming with opportunity. You can't even get a table at a restaurant in the MGM now because Warren's there and he's taking over. God bless him for it.
A hot ticket, Scott. It's a hot ticket.
I mean, you are the ticket, son. You are the ticket. Here we go. The Bills and Ravens in the Charm City right down the street. And they got their act going again, finally, the Ravens last week. The Bills certainly didn't. You talk about the Bills' slow starts. They didn't have a slow start in Miami. They scored, but they had a slow day despite the 90, you know, attempts that they had the ball. They were a mess.
Well, they were a mess, and a lot of it, in my opinion, has to do with the strategy of this offense right now. And it really sounds confusing. I'll try to break it down as simply as possible. The bottom line is, under Ken Dorsey, the Buffalo Bills offense is more efficient than it was under Brian Daboll. And they are scoring more points per drive on average under Ken Dorsey than they were under Brian Daboll. But the issue is that they are throwing the ball so short on first and second down that it's forcing them into more third downs that are more manageable, that allow them to convert them and continue to march the ball down the field. But the drive takes up a lot more time. And so for the first 3 weeks of the season, in the first half of games, this year they've had only 14 drives. Last year, they had 21 drives. So despite the fact that they're scoring more points per drive this year, they scored more points overall in the first half of games last year because they have the volume of drives and how explosive this offense was. And as a result, the bottom line is they were leading by larger margins at halftime over each of the last 2 years under Brian Daboll than this Ken Dorsey-led Buffalo Bills team is. And it's forcing the Buffalo Bills to be better and more perfect in the second half of games and into the fourth quarter in order to win some of those games, whereas a team like the Philadelphia Eagles or the Buffalo Bills of the past couple of years didn't have to be as perfect late in the game because they had already won the game entering the third quarter or entering the fourth quarter because of high point margins. On the other side, I'm fascinated to watch what Lamar Jackson is going to do in this game because Lamar Jackson has not played a defense like this at all this year. This defense sits back in that two-high shell more than any other defense in the NFL. He's gone up against defenses that do not play too high basically at all on the season, the three teams that he's faced. In addition, the Buffalo Bills aren't like those other defenses because the Buffalo Bills don't blitz. Those other defenses that Lamar has played have a ton of blitz and they try to get pressure that way. The Buffalo Bills get the second most pressure in the NFL, but they don't blitz at all. It's going to be interesting to see how Lamar Jackson performs against that because he is the best quarterback in the NFL this year, Scott, against the blitz. Last week alone, he had 4 touchdowns against the blitz. So he's playing great against the blitz, but the Bills aren't going to bring the blitz. So I'm interested to see how he fares here. He's done well in the years past against cover two defenses, though. So it's going to be an outstanding game. Another game you need to pay attention to weather for because we are hearing a little bit of rain, a little bit of wind, just like the Jags at Philly.
So let me ask you this question. With all those injuries that Buffalo had, their defense looked pretty broke against Miami, if you ask me. And Allen had a bizarre day. Are all of those injuries catching up with them in the sense that, I mean, it's just not the Buffalo Bills team that everyone thinks is going to win the Super Bowl. It's like a second version of them.
A little bit. They're still going to play the same defensive style, and they're going to be able to sit back and try to take away some of those deep shots. They did not have as much success doing that against the Dolphins. That is correct. We also just saw very low volume out of the Dolphins in terms of plays because the Bills' offense had the ball for so long that we weren't able to see really how this defense would look if it was attacked continuously over the course of the game at the rate I expect the Baltimore Ravens to try to attack them here. But that style of defense is intended to take away those big plays. That's one of the things Lamar has been doing this year, is throwing the ball deep down the field. So I'm excited to see how that matches up here. But those injuries certainly are hurting the Buffalo Bills defense and their chances of being an elite defense this season.
I mean, Josh Allen's 15-5 after a loss, and he usually excels after a loss, and you know he's angry about what happened at the end of that game in Miami. So I can't wait to see how he looks in Baltimore. I think it's going to be a great game. Zach Wilson gets the nod finally for the Jets. They got to go to Pittsburgh. And Mike Tomlin's had, 10 days to get ready for this game after they lost in Cleveland. How do you think the Steelers will respond with all the time off after losing to the Browns and to the Patriots back-to-back?
Hopefully well. I mean, hopefully for their sake, Tomlin has taken Matt Canada into a room and really given him the lecture that this offense needs to improve. I mean, he's done something to him. I mean, Matt Canada has been terrible thus far for this offense, and there is room for improvement there, and there are certain things that Mitchell Trubisky does well. You just have to find those things and emphasize those things and de-emphasize the parts of the game that he struggles with, because the defense is already going to limit you in some capacity. But I really do think that the Steelers are in a great spot here. I don't like taking an injured quarterback who hasn't been playing much and inserting him in a game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Yes, no TJ Watt has reduced the pressure rate that the Steelers have been able to get on opposing quarterbacks, but this is still a very tall task for a Jets team that I think the Steelers' offense should look a lot better in this spot as well. This is a game that the Steelers need to win, and I've heard that there has been some sharp money coming in on the Jets, but I don't necessarily agree with it, and I'm probably not playing this game at all, but it's hard not to lean towards the Steelers laying the small number at home.
So the game in London, we've got the Vikings and the Saints, and famous Jameis has been all kinds of banged up. He never practices, and we've already seen Kirk Cousins implode in primetime, but this one's normal time in London, early in the East Coast, a 9:30 Sunday brunch kickoff across the pond.
Yeah, and what's funny is the Saints went over there super early. Both of these teams are playing next week, so both of these teams tried to figure out how it's best going to serve them in terms of their travel. The Vikings have opted to go over very late in the week, which actually could cause more problems for them in this game, because definitely Kirk is not going to get his body clock ready for this game this weekend like the Saints might. But the issue to me in this game is Kirk Cousins has been terrible so far this year when he's been pressured, but really good when he hasn't been pressured. And the Saints, you think the Saints, you think defense, you think their ability to pressure opposing quarterbacks, this team has simply not been able to get pressure on opposing quarterbacks. We predicted that would happen against Baker Mayfield last week. It's one of the reasons I like the Carolina Panthers last week catching the points. Guess what? The Saints didn't get pressure, but that wasn't the reason why Baker Mayfield looked bad. Baker Mayfield is just bad. And we were fortunate to win that game outright by margin, but that was not because of the Saints' pressure rate. The Saints are going to struggle to get pressure on Kirk Cousins here. There's a lot of injuries for this one to watch. I don't have a lot of confidence in my ability to find a side or an actionable betting edge for this game, side or total.
All right, Washington and Dallas in Jerry's world. Cooper Rush has gotten the job done. Pollard's been banging. That defense is for real.
The defense is for real, and that's really where this game is going to boil down, in my opinion. Carson Wentz has the pocket presence of pocket lint. Like, you reach your hand in your pocket, that's where the lint is going to be. It's easy to get your hands on it, exactly like Carson Wentz in the pocket. You know where he is. He's easy to get your hands on. And the Philadelphia Eagles absolutely destroyed him last week. Now, they know his tics and his tendencies, but the Dallas Cowboys have played Carson Wentz for years now. They know his tics and tendencies as well. And you know, we just saw the Dallas Cowboys get a ton of pressure on the New York Giants last week, and on that offensive line, I don't really see it going any different here. So it's going to be incumbent upon this Washington defense, which has been maligned and problematic and having internal issues and complaining about Jack Del Rio, the coach, and putting him in bad situations. Are they going to get things together on the road and pull up and show up for the Dallas Cowboys offense, which really isn't all that great, but has been efficient enough to win them a couple of games? I think this game is going to be a tough one for Washington, but I'm certainly not running to lay this many points with this Cowboys team.
So the Lions blew that game against Minnesota. Now they're home at Ford in the Motor City against what I think is an anemic Seattle attack.
It is anemic, but there are some question marks on the Denver Broncos offense as well. Is Amara St. Brown going to be available to them? And they're already without Swift at running back. And so running backs normally aren't that beneficial, but he actually does move the needle a little bit because of just his burst and his upside and his explosiveness. It's going to fall now onto Williams and some other secondary backs to try to pick up that load, because this is a team that wants to run the football a lot. It's going to come down to their offensive line. And earlier in the show, I mentioned how bad the Seattle Seahawks have been at allowing yards before contact to opposing running backs. They rank dead last in the NFL. A great opportunity to just, whoever the back is, get that offensive line to clear some holes and let the backs run through them. But the money has come in right now on the Seattle Seahawks here, backing a team that was able to put up some points and looked somewhat efficient and better against the Falcons team. I do wonder, though, how much of that was just a bad Falcons defense that the Seattle Seahawks was able to take advantage of. This game should be interesting. Unlike most Lions games, though, I will point out, this game, they went over the total in their first three games. This game has taken under money in the marketplace, from 50 down to 48. So we'll see how this game goes, if the Lions are able to go 4-0 to the over this year, or if this becomes their first under.
Tennessee and Indy in Lucas Oil in Naptown. How do the Colts follow up the upset of the Chiefs? Do they go to 2-1-1, or do they screw it up?
I think they're going to be in for some trouble here. Now, I'm not taking the Tennessee Titans, but Mike Vrabel has had the number of the Indianapolis Colts and Frank Reich for the last several years. But here's the thing. This Titans team can't pass the ball nearly as efficiently as it once did. And this Colts team currently ranks number one against the run. They don't allow yards before contact, and they have a great run defense against EPA per attempt for opposing offenses. If you slow down Derrick Henry and you can minimize what he impacts the game, it's going to be difficult for the Tennessee Titans to find another avenue to score enough points here to really have a lot of success. So this game could be a little bit lower scoring than is expected right now.
The Bears are at the Giants in the Meadowlands. Do the Giants respond after losing to Dallas?
I think the Bears might have some success here in this game. I mean, the Giants are going to try to do what the Giants do, which unfortunately isn't much because they're limited by their quarterback, not enough talent at wide receiver. They just lost Sterling Shepard to season-ending injury. Kenny Golladay is basically a walking season-ending injury in terms of what he's giving to this offense right now. And as a result, they really are just Saquon Barkley or Daniel Jones try to throw a great pass when you're being pressured. I don't know. I'm fascinated to see what this Bears team decides to do offensively, because they're doing everything in their power not to let Justin Fields throw the football even a couple of attempts per game. So I think this is a lower scoring game, but one that the Giants could. They were laying 3.5 points here. That was a great look for the Chicago Bears.
All right, we'll come back and try to squeeze in Chargers, Texans, Arizona, Carolina, and the Pats, Packers, and Lambeau.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, back to the National Harbor BetMGM Sportsbook and Warren Sharp, our lead NFL analyst. You can catch him every Thursday right here on Coast to Coast for an entire hour, setting the standard. Believe me, you. All right, Warren, Chargers and Texans. I got to tell you, when I watched the Chargers against the Jags, I wanted to puke. I'm about done with them. And now they go to Houston.
What's going to be interesting in this game is how much Austin Ekeler can run the football here, because this offensive line is opening up no holes whatsoever for the run game, which is why Austin Ekeler has done absolutely nothing on the ground for the Chargers. Conversely, we talked about it when we were discussing the earlier game with Denver Broncos, that the Houston Texans defense ranks dead last in EPA allowed per rushing attempt to opposing backs. So there's really a contrast in styles, a weak offense versus a weak defense. We'll see if they can get some support. They can't have Justin Herbert dropping back to pass like they were doing. I mean, he was dropping back to pass 80% of the plays in the first half with this injured rib. It made really no sense for how they were trying to manage the future of their franchise, which is why we saw some Houston Texans money come in earlier on in the week, thinking that, you know, this team might, the Chargers might stick to the ground game a little bit more, shorten the game, and make it closer.
The Pats and Packers at Lambeau, no Mac Jones. There's no way he's playing in that game, is there?
I don't think so. I do not think so. And that being said, how big of a drop-off is Brian Hoyer? We are seeing a little bit of professional money coming in, taking the double-digit spread for the New England Patriots here, just because they don't see that big of a drop-off from Mac to Brian Hoyer.
You like Carolina to win at home against Arizona, or the Cards on the road?
Carolina has owned this series, but I'm thinking Cliff Kingsbury might steal one here. Even though it's gross, I don't want anything to do with either of these coaches.
All right, Warren, listen, great job today. I can't wait to see how things play out. Tonight it starts Dolphins and Bengals in the Queen City in the jungle. We'll see you again next week from the National Harbor MGM.